From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns concludes his second message in a series of studies in the book of Acts, entitled The Unfinished Work of Christ. The message deals with what the Savior taught his disciples between his resurrection and his ascension. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled From Every Sin. The text is Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. He shall save his people from their sins. Lord, save me from my sins. By thy name of Jesus, I am encouraged thus to pray. Save me from my past sins, that the habit of them may not hold me captive. Save me from my constitutional sins, that I may not be the slave of my own weaknesses. Save me from the sins which are constantly under my eye, that I may not lose my horror of them. Save me from secret sins, sins unperceived by me from my want of light. Save me from sudden and surprising sins. Let me not be carried off my feet by a rush of temptation. Save me, Lord, from every sin. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Thou alone canst do this. I cannot snap my own chains or slay my own enemies. Thou knowest temptation, for thou wast tempted. Thou knowest sin, for thou didst bear the weight of it. Thou knowest how to succor me in my hour of conflict. Thou canst save me from sinning, and save me when I have sinned. It is promised in thy very name that thou wilt do this, and I pray thee, let me this day verify the prophecy. Let me not give way to temper or pride or despondency or any form of evil, but do thou save me unto holiness of life, that thy name of Jesus may be glorified in me abundantly.
Cleansing fount was opened there.
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Today, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with verses 1 through 11, the introductory portion of the book of Acts. In verse 1, Luke refers to the gospel which he had written earlier as a record of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Between his resurrection and his ascension, the Savior gave his disciples further instruction regarding their work of spreading the gospel. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, they were commissioned to complete the teaching Christ had begun. Regarding what Christ began to do, we'll see that he began to call out a people for his name's sake. Then he taught his apostles the necessity of doctrine, discipleship, and duty. Now to conclude this message called The Unfinished Work of Christ, here is Dr. Cairns.
Now, what did the Lord teach? I can tell you very quickly. The emphasis is in what he taught them between the resurrection and the ascension. If we were going to go through his whole ministry and say, what did he teach them, we would really be in trouble. But the emphasis, if you look at verse 2, is on his ascension. So what did he teach between his resurrection and his ascension? Well, you can sum it up under three headings. He taught them doctrine. It's the first thing. And then he taught them discipleship. And then he taught them duty. Those three things. The doctrine that he taught them. Let me list them. I really should have left myself an hour and a half to preach on the doctrine. But I want you to think of this very clearly, because this is the key. What did he teach them? First, the doctrine of the infallibility of the inspired Word of God. Look at verse 45 of Luke 24. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Now, what was he making them understand about the Scriptures? Verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Ought not, underline the word. The thought is, the Scripture says he ought to have suffered, and therefore he suffered. Look then again at verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Then look at verse 44. He said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Underline the must. He's speaking about an infallible rule of faith and practice. That's what he's speaking about. Then verse 46. Thus it is written, thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. The infallibility of the inspired word. A proper doctrine of Scripture is fundamental to everything else. Now then, the second doctrine is the necessity of the blood atonement. Look at verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered? Underline the word. The context here is a reference to the Old Testament. The context here is therefore focusing upon the Levitical offerings of the Old Testament. I think that comes out very clearly when you read the entire passage. The suffering of the Lord Jesus is in fulfillment of the types and the prophecies of the Old Testament Scriptures. Now, what do the Old Testament Scriptures really teach? They teach, to quote the words of a great American theologian, Dr. William Shedd, they teach that the essence of the atonement is the suffering. So many people and preachers will tell you now that the sufferings of Christ really had nothing to do with the atonement. There's a great Baptist preacher back in Northern Ireland, a brilliant preacher. I wish he were a better theologian sometimes. But he says, the wounds in his hands and his head and his side and his feet and all the physical agony, these have nothing to do with the atonement. These are but the marks of man's brutality. He's got it wrong. For the suffering is of the very essence of the atonement. You go back to the Old Testament types. The animal had to bleed, to agonize, and die. It was fled. It was in every possible way an object of suffering. My friend, there you've got the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 9:22, Matthew 16:21, and even in this passage of Scripture, he says he must suffer. On the cross, you'll remember that we read Matthew 27:34, he refused the wine mingled with gall. Why? Because it would deaden the pain. That's why. He would not accept the lessening of the suffering because it was necessary for a full blood atonement to be made. Here's the preaching that shook the world, the infallibility of Scripture. If the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who's going to prepare himself for the war? When preachers doubt the Bible, how can you expect the people to believe it? When preachers preach as if the Bible is a might be instead of an is, actually true, then how can you expect the people to repent and be converted? Also, the blood atonement. There's little preaching of the cross today. There's little preaching of the blood atonement today. I think I've mentioned this before. You listen to Dr. Paisley's preaching, and I reckon him to be the greatest preacher I know. Let me say this to you. You just listen to his preaching. And when the devil starts to give him a tough time, I have watched him over the years, and I always remark on this. There's always one thing that he does, practically without exception, and that is wherever he's preaching, he always makes a beeline for the cross. You ever read the preaching of Charles Haddon Spurgeon? If you haven't, you ought to. And when you read there the preaching that moved England, what is so unique about it? He never strayed from the cross. He never tired of preaching the blood atonement. My friend, that's what the Lord Jesus taught them. That's what he's teaching us today. And then he taught them a most important doctrine. The doctrine of the centrality of Jesus Christ in Scripture. You will find verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. He is central to the Bible. I mentioned Spurgeon's preaching a while ago. Other preachers preach about the Lord Jesus. Other preachers preach the plan of salvation. And they preach this, that, and the other thing. He got back to the apostles where they said, we preach Christ. Christ is central. My friend, when you have him central in your life, central in your witnessing, central in all you say and all you do, when this church has Christ central in all its activity and preaching, then the Lord will mightily bless. The apostles preached Christ, you know why? Because on the road to Emmaus there were two of them, and they found that this is the preaching that grips the heart. Did not our hearts burn within us? Yes, they preached Christ from the heart, a heart on fire with the love of the Savior. And then the doctrine of the glory of Christ's acceptance. The end of verse 26. He ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. What glory is that? It's the glory spoken of in Hebrews 2:10, where he brings many sons into glory. It's the glory of his finished work and his acceptance in heaven, where the Father says, sit thou in my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Where Paul says in Hebrews 10, verse 12, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. It's the glory of the finished work at the right hand of God. His acceptance. I think sometimes that doesn't dawn on us quite enough. Yes, he died. He rose again. But that is the token that he was accepted in glory. And he is there at the Father's right hand as my intercessor, my high priest, and my forerunner. Thank God, because he's there, I'll be there also. So he taught them doctrine. He taught them what it was to be a disciple. If you read John 21:19 to 22, he says, follow me. Follow me. The Lord Jesus was greatly taken up with this subject just before he left his disciples. Don't let anything make you deviate to the right hand or to the left hand. Follow me. Don't let other things enter in. Peter was worried about John. He says, forget about John. Whether he lives or dies, it's none of your business. Follow thou me. Discipleship. He had already taught them much about that. It's a great passage in Luke 14 I commend to your very earnest study. Verse 27, Luke 14, the character of discipleship. Christ first. You hate father, mother, brother, sisters for his sake. Our love for Christ must be such that he is preeminent, and that our love for others pales to seem like hatred by comparison. The cross and discipleship. We've got to learn death. Luke 14:27. We've got to learn death. Unless there's death to self, we'll never know the resurrection power of Christ. The cost of discipleship, Luke 14, 28 to 33. These are the things he was teaching them. A great English preacher was once invited to speak at a very eminent West End club in London. For those of you who have never been to London, the West End's where all the aristocrats go for their clubs and their club life. This great preacher went along and he took the theme of the club and he said this. He said, "Gentlemen, the entrance fee to the kingdom of heaven is nothing. The annual subscription is everything." That's discipleship. Even a fool like Thomas Huxley, he was a fool. Oh, he was a learned philosopher. He was a fool, for he said that there was no God. Even Huxley said, "It doesn't take much of a man to be a Christian." I am not going to enter into that part of it. But then he said this, "But it takes all there is of him." And he was right there. That's discipleship. The cost of it. Everything on the altar for God. And that's what the Lord is still teaching us. Then he taught their duty. Can I just leave this with you as we go to prayer and close the meeting this morning? That the Lord Jesus left as he was ascending up to glory. He left two great basic and burning necessities with his people. The necessity of the evangelization of the people of this world. Luke 24 and 47, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. He burned into them. If you look at Matthew 8, 28, verse 20. If you look at Mark 16, as he was leaving this world, he burned into their minds, you must evangelize the world. That's what he taught them. But Lord, we're only a handful. Forget about that. Evangelize the world. But Lord, we're not learned. Forget about that. Evangelize the world. But Lord, the enemy's so entrenched, so strong. Forget about that. Evangelize the world. Oh, that God would burn this into our hearts. My, there's one thing that scares me, and I must confess it to you, and it's this, that I fear this church can get to the place where we want to be taking in, we want to be learning, we want to be enjoying God's blessing, God's word, we want to be praying about more blessing, more holiness, more sanctification, and it's all inward, and there's no outward burden for the world. My friend, let's have God work inwardly. But oh, let there then be an outworking in evangelistic fire and fervor. I wonder, have you a burden for the lost? Have you a burden for your family? Have you a burden for your friends? Have you a burden for your workmates? Have you a burden for your city? Have you a burden for your nation? If not, my friend, you've missed what Christ has left with us, that we ought to evangelize. Let this be a church that's on the march for God. Let it be a church where every member and every friend is marching with us for God. Let's get out of our chairs. Let's get away from our theorizing. And let's get doing the work of God in evangelism. And then he left with them the necessity of the enduement of power. Evangelize, but Lord, we can't. That's right, we can't. How do you do it then? One of the most important lessons in the Bible is in Luke 24, 49. "Behold, I send you the promise of the Father, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." He said, go and evangelize. And then he says, wait. Is there a contradiction? No, sir. Let me leave this principle with you. And if God burns it into our hearts, what a blessing it will be. Begin every work for God by waiting at his feet until his Spirit moves. Tarry until ye be endued with power. You don't get the power of God by rushing into God's presence, clicking your fingers and saying, jump to it. You don't get God's power that way. You don't get God's power in any easy fashion. You get God's power when you wait God's time tarry, with discipline, with determination, with brokenness of heart, with yieldedness of spirit, with all on the altar for God, my friend, tarry there, and you will be endued with power. And then you can evangelize the world for God. I trust this morning that the Lord will teach us this, and that we as a church and we as individuals will get out and going for God in the power of the Holy Ghost.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.